Thank you for joining us to hear Brother Tommy Ledford and Brother David Clark with The Truth Ministries on the air every Sunday morning at 8:30 here on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you for joining us to hear Brother Tommy Ledford and Brother David Clark with The Truth Ministries on the air every Sunday morning at 8:30 here on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points.
Good morning, everyone. This is David Clark. Thank you for joining us again this week on the Truth Ministries radio broadcast. I'm glad to be with you. Glad to be joined by my oldest son, Jacob, here. He's hanging out in the studio with me, so I want to say welcome to him. Thank God that he's with me this morning. He's watching dear old dad do what we do on Sunday morning. So I'm going to be going into the book of Matthew chapter 7. I want to thank everyone for praying for my brother Matthew. I know everyone has sent Facebook messages and emails and phone calls and texts, everything over the last week. He had aortic dissection, and they did three surgeries on him. He's doing wonderful. He's at home today. Glad to report that he's at home. He's doing well. He's on the mend. God worked miracles in his life, and so we're thankful for that today. And so we're back here again one more week. Wait, just looking to see what God's going to do. So let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 7. We're going to start reading in verse number 13. Matthew 7 and 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended and the floods came. The winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I want to talk just for a few minutes this morning on the subject of what God requires. What God requires. Now, we know that in anything in life that you do, if you go to elementary school, if you go to middle school or high school, and then into college, when you get a job, all through life, you are presented with requirements. Whenever you're in school, my kids are in school now, they get a code of conduct. They get a book that tells them how they are to act and what they are and are not supposed to do. And the punishment or the consequences of breaking those rules sometimes can be severe. Now, depending on what the action is, or depending on what they've done, what rule they've broke, it can be expulsion from the school. It can be, you know, you have to go find somewhere else to get your education. Now, all through life, we are approached with the fact, the reality, that there are requirements of us. a lot of people today that you'll see that are, you know, this is not the case with everyone, so don't everybody go crazy on me. A lot of people today that are homeless, a lot of people that don't have a job, or they don't have, you know, things in life. They don't have any money. They don't have, you know, a support group around them. A lot of those people will tell you they did not want to be bothered with the requirements of life. Well, you've got to show up for work if you want to maintain a job. You got to be on time for school. You've got to follow the rules. You've got to obey the rules. And so we are required of things. You know, even this morning, everybody getting up to go about their daily lives. When you leave the house, the law requires you to be a legal, law-abiding citizen. It requires us to obey the speed limits. Most of us adhere to that. It requires us to have, you know, a tag on our car. It requires you to not go out and rob someone. The law requires you to obey it and to be a good moral citizen. Now, this should be no surprise to us that are in the kingdom of God, that the same way with everything else, there are requirements in this Bible. I know that it's not popular today to talk about requirements because we want to say that God is just a God of love, and He is a God of love. We want to say that He's only a God of grace and mercy, and that He's only a God of favor, forgiveness, and restoration, and He is all of those things. But friends, there are requirements in this world that a man and a woman, a boy and a girl are going to be held to if they are to make it into heaven. Just as my son Jacob is in this radio booth with me this morning. He's 12 years old, going to be 13 this year. I'll have a teenager on my hands. And there are requirements that this Bible places on his life. This isn't just for me. It isn't just for the ones that are, 50, 60, 70 years old. This is a requirement for the born-again believer to get into heaven. Now listen to this morning. The Bible tells us that there is a way that seems right unto a man. There's a lot of people today preaching all kinds of gospels, telling you all kind of different ways that you can live and get to heaven. But friends, there's still only one way. There's still only one gospel. There's still only one book. That's the Bible. That's the King James version of this Bible this morning. It tells me that the way that I've got to walk is going to be a straight way. The way that I've got to walk is going to be a narrow way. Not just anybody is going to want to walk down this road. That leads me into my next point. If you're going to follow this old-time way, this straight and narrow path, you're not going to have a bunch of friends that are going to want to go with you. Everybody's not going to want to follow along. In fact, you're going to find that the longer you serve God and the closer that you live to Him, the more moral of a person you become, the more of an upstanding person with standards of living that you become, you are going to find that more and more people do not want to be around you. And that is the simple fact that they don't want to have to be required of what you do. They don't want to feel the condemnation in their own life for the way that they live. But this word of God is a word of grace. It is a word of love, but it is also a word of conviction. It's also a book of law. It's also a book of standards. And we must adhere to the word of God this morning if we ever hope to make it into a place called heaven. Now, let's start at the beginning. What God requires, first and foremost, you and I both know it's no secret that if we are to make it to a place called heaven, we're going to have to be born again. If unless you're born again, you will no wise enter into that kingdom. There's no two ways about it, friends. If you're not saved, you're not going. But you can be saved today. You can be born again today. But if you're not walking this straight and narrow path, like we read here in Matthew chapter 7, there is no way you can enter into that place called heaven. First and foremost, God requires that a man be born again. Listen to me. Salvation is a traumatic experience. Millions have been deceived into believing that they are saved when in reality they have never had an actual experience with God. What an awful disadvantage it is. What an awful crime it is against someone's soul. to tell them that lie that if you just simply repeat this prayer after me, if you just simply do this one thing, then you're going to go to heaven. But friends, this is not one prayer that we pray. It's not one little nighttime thing we do before we lay down. It's not one little random passing thought, and then we never think about it again. Salvation is a change of lifestyle. It's a change of character. My spiritual DNA was changed at the moment that Jesus saved me. Whenever I was transformed into this new creature in Christ, it changed everything about me. I no longer want to go back to the old way. I no longer want any part with the things that I used to do. My children, I hope when they're raised and they're grown, they only remember that mama and daddy lived this way. They only remember that mama and daddy raised us in this way. I don't want any memories. I don't want them to have any memories of me living that old lifestyle. I want them to know that there's a better way. Mama and daddy found the answer. They found the salvation power of God. They found deliverance from the life of sin, and it's kept them and is keeping them until the end. This salvation experience is nothing to be trifled with, friend. We can't make light of it. We can't discount. Well, I preached a message the other day, and 45 people got born again. I really want to know, did 45 people get in the altar and pray until God changed their innermost being? Did they really have an experience with God, or did we just lead them in some prayer and just hope they got a hold of it? Friends, salvation is an undeniable change in the heart of a man, and when he comes up from that place of prayer, he will no longer desire the things of the old life. He won't do it. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. It can't get any more plain than that. There's too many people that say they were born again that are always in and out, up and down. They can't ever lay the things of the world down. They can't ever seem to break out of the mold. They can't ever seem to get rid of the habits and get rid of the lifestyle that they used to live. They want to hold on to God, but hold on to the world. But salvation doesn't save us in our sin, friends. Salvation saves us from our sin. Now, listen to me. A simple prayer that brings no change and requires no change cannot save a sinner. The Spirit of God must draw a person by means of conviction. This brings the realization that eternity in hell is a reality. Unless a person accepts Christ as Lord, salvation is an undeniable experience that a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, will have with God. And they will know when that experience is completed that they've been saved from an awful place called hell. They don't have to go there. Friend, you don't have to go there. God requires salvation. If you are to escape that place called hell this morning, you must be born again. You must believe on Christ. Televangelists and megachurch pastors would lead you to believe today that as long as you confess him with your mouth, that that's all you need. But friends, I want to tell you that you can confess that you're the president of the United States. It does not change the fact that you're not the president. You can confess that you're a rocket scientist, but it don't change the fact that you're not a rocket scientist. Listen, I work at a hospital, and I can say all day long that I'm a lawyer, but it don't change the fact that Monday morning I'm going to get up and go to the hospital to go to work. Because I'm not a lawyer, I work at the hospital. I confess it with my mouth, but it don't change the fact. Listen to me. It don't change nothing unless I change my behavior, unless my lifestyle changes, unless there's action, something that takes place in me that shows this world that there is a new life. There is a new Savior. There is a new allegiance here. I no longer chase after the things of the world. I no longer desire those old things, but now my heart and my affection is set on things above. You can tell where a person's heart is. You watch what they love. You follow them around and watch what their hobbies are. Watch where their desires are. I would dare say if you could look at somebody's Google searches, you'd find out what they love with a quickness. My wife, if you was to look at her phone, you could tell she loves Pinterest. You can tell she loves home projects. You can tell she loves cooking recipes. You can tell she loves things like that. If you look in her phone, you can tell. But listen, you can tell a lot about a person by following them around, knowing what they're interested in, knowing what type of lifestyle they live, by what they enjoy. Whenever you come to Christ, you're not going to enjoy the former lifestyle any longer. The things of this world are not going to be pleasing unto you. In fact, sin will disgust you, friend. I said sin will disgust you. The people, the sinner will not disgust you, but their actions, the sin of man, will disgust you because it's so displeasing to God, and we want to please him and never hurt him. Sin will be abhorrent to us. We will want to stay as far away from it as possible. Sin is not acceptable in that place called heaven. 2 Corinthians, I quoted it a minute ago, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you're born again, you will not want the former things. I'm sorry to tell you, but addictions will have to be laid down and strongholds will have to be broken. Listen to me. If you were a liar before you got saved, you will have to stop lying. You won't want to lie no more. You want to tell the truth. If you were a thief before you got born again, you're not going to want to steal nothing no more. You're going to want to be honest. You're going to want to walk the straight and narrow. If you were a cheater before you got born again, you're going to want to live right. You're going to want to be honest and be fair and be faithful. You're not going to want to be the same thing you were before God saved you, because this nature of Christ has been deposited into your heart. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever really been born again? I don't mean did you kneel in an altar and pray 35 years ago and now everything is just the same as it's always been. I mean, have you had an experience with God to the point to where you no longer desire the old things of this world, where everything is heavenly minded, everything is about Christ, every day with Jesus it just gets sweeter than the day before? Friend, if you don't feel that way this morning, I want to know, have you really been born again? Because this life that I'm living, this life this word gives us, it gets sweeter and sweeter with every passing day. The longer that I know him, the sweeter he grows. Friend, I ain't never had a day where I woke up and I said, you know what? I don't love Jesus like I did yesterday and he don't love me. I feel like we're growing apart in this relationship. I feel like he don't love me like he once did. I feel like his attention is somewhere else. I feel like he's distracted. I feel like he may be cheating. No, sir, no ma'am. But every morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Every day when my eyes open, let me have more of him. I desire him. I crave him. I want my life to resemble him. I want my life to testify of his goodness. I want his power to be imminent in me. I want it to be prevalent in my life so that others will know that there is no better way to live than by serving Christ. There's no better way, friend. There's nothing that this world can offer you that will satisfy. There's no love that'll take hold of you and feel the emptiness inside like the love of Christ. Are you bound by strongholds of addiction? Jesus can set you free. Are you empty on the inside because of a past hurt and a wound? Jesus can pour his love in this morning and he can set you free today. Jesus is the answer. He's the solution, and he's the only answer. He's the only solution. If you need something this morning, you're looking in all the wrong places. I said the bar stool cannot help you. The juke joint cannot help you. AA cannot help you. But there is a place that you can get to in Christ where his spirit is alive in you, where his spirit is present, is manifest in you. You can have the joy and the love that you so desperately seek, but it'll only be found in Christ this morning. Listen, I want to tell somebody on these airwaves today, driving around Jacksonville, Florida, maybe, listening, maybe you flipped to this station by accident. It's no accident. Jesus wants you to know this morning that if you are longing for something more, if you're unsatisfied with the way things have been, if your life is in shambles, if the enemy of your soul, if sin has took you farther than you wanted to go, there is still hope this morning. There is still a remedy. There is still a Savior. There is still a way out today. It's the man Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He wants to help you. He wants to save you. with arms stretched out. You see, a lot of what we hear in the church world today and how we've been raised is that God is sitting on a cloud somewhere with lightning bolts ready to strike you down at the first time you make a mistake. But I want to tell you that He wants to love you this morning. Jesus wants to love you. Jesus wants to help you. He's for you. He's rooting for you. He's calling for you. He wants to save you. He wants to, He prepared a place in that city called heaven for you. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God wants to help you today. He wants to receive you. Listen, He's making preparations in that city called heaven for you and I today. This is a life we can have. This is a truth you can have. This is a change that is attainable through Jesus Christ. Listen, I know too many that are bound by drugs. I know too many that are bound by sin. I once was lost. Listen, I was a wretch. I was the chiefest of sinners. I was so down and so discouraged, and the enemy had lied to me and told me, listen, you're looking at a miracle this morning. If you're watching my Facebook today, you're looking into the eyes of a miracle. Look at me real good. You're looking at a miracle today. Those that know me well could tell you that I was in a bad state of mind. I was in a low place. Thank God my children don't remember. Thank God they didn't know me like that. Thank God they don't know Daddy before Christ. But listen to me. I was in a place that only God could reach down. But one Sunday night on the back pew of Otis Road Church of God, I was there in revival because my mama aggravated me until I showed up. I took my family. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to know what he was going to say. I don't remember what Brother Tim Hicks preached that night in revival. I don't remember what the message was about. But all I know is when he gave the altar call, the Holy Ghost went to that back row and arrested my heart. And before I knew it, I was face down in that front pew. I remember what the pew fabric felt like on my face. I remember what that old church pew smelled like. I remember the atmosphere. I remember those around me. But one thing I don't remember anymore is my love for that old life. I don't remember the old things anymore. Thank God he brought me out of a horrible pit. Thank God he delivered me. But listen to me, folks. God requires this if we are to be a new creature. God requires your salvation. He requires that you believe on Christ this morning. There's no other way. But God wants this for you. We're talking about what God requires and the staple of making it to heaven. The first thing God requires, you must believe on Christ. You must believe. Listen, without faith, it's impossible. You can't please God. You can't go to heaven. You got to have faith that Jesus Christ died for you, that he gave his life, that you could live. He took the stripes. He took the beatings. He took the crown of thorns. He took the nails. He took the piercing of his side. They ripped his beard out. They spat upon him. They humiliated him in front of everybody. Listen, and he did that for me and you today. Jesus did it for you. We must believe on him. He's already paid the price. Listen, the consequences that we talked about, the consequences of not believing in Christ is you will have to pay the price. The price of sin. It's death. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can either accept what Christ has paid for you, or you can pay it with your eternal soul. Listen to me. There is no comparison. Why would a person not want to accept a free gift this morning? Brother David's trying to offer this to you. I'm trying to explain to you. Listen, this is not, I got so much more to say, but I feel like lingering here on salvation for just a few more moments. I know we may have to continue this next week, and that's fine. Listen to me. God wants to offer you a free gift this morning. He wants you to have the free gift that he paid everything for. So you don't have to. But listen, denying him today, denying Christ and turning away from him, you are saying to God, I would rather pay for my sin with my own eternal soul in a place called hell than to accept Christ that you gave for me before the foundation of the world, that you prepared as a lamb for the slaughter to take on the remission of sin that I may go free. It's insanity. It's crazy to think that God offers us free salvation. God offers us the lamb that was slain. He offers us this so freely, and yet folks would turn him away and say, I'll pay with my own salvation, my own eternal soul. I'll pay with my own eternity. It's so insane for a person to turn away Christ and to think that they can take the price, the consequences upon their own shoulder. Friends, once you make that mistake, once you get to that awful place called hell, there's no coming back. Listen, I'm going to make some folks mad here, and I'm not trying to, but I want to tell you something. Once folks die, they don't come back. I said, once people die, they don't come back. Once it's over, it's over. There is no coming back. I know that we like to say in this new age that once somebody dies, oh, they're watching over me. Well, I know they're here. I can feel them with me. Hogwash. You might feel something, but you don't feel grandma with you. Listen to me. You may feel something, but you don't feel brother with you. Once they get to where they're going, they don't come back. Listen to me this morning. I don't believe in necromancy. I don't believe in witchcraft. I believe that where my soul goes, I'm going to be with God. I know that Abraham went to be with his maker, and that the rich, he saw a Lazarus. The rich man saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man, he wanted someone to bring him a drop of water, but he couldn't get to anybody because there was a divide there. There was no escape. Once you get there, friend, you can't come back. Listen to me, but there is a way of escape right now. You don't have to go to that awful place. Jesus paid it all for you, friend. I said Jesus paid it all. Listen, I love to get around folks that know the gift of this salvation, that know my Jesus. I know people that I work with that come by and talk to me, people on the job, people in the supermarket. You can get around folks, and all of a sudden you hear his name and my ears perk up. Somebody goes to talking about my Jesus, or I'll hear him humming or singing a song or whistling a song, or I'll see him post something on Facebook. Listen, my ears perk up because you're talking about my Jesus. You're talking about my Savior. There's a kindredness there. Listen to me. I ain't never met one person that trusted in Jesus who ever regretted it. Listen to me closely. I never met one person that trusted in his love that ever regretted it, friend. I ain't never met somebody that was really born again that was mad at it, that was upset about it. Listen to me. Nobody that ever got born again ever missed the things of that former lifestyle. But I want to tell you, Jesus wants that for you today. He wants to save you today. You are not too far gone. I'm out of time here. You are not too far gone. There is still hope for you. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. Look how mightily God used him. You look at Brother David Clark this morning. I was the wretched in the room. I was below the floor. I didn't deserve anything, but listen to me. God saved me. God sanctified me, filled me with the Holy Ghost, called me to preach this gospel, put me right here on front of you where you can look at me in the eyeballs while I tell you this morning that he's a saver. He's a deliverer. He's a chain breaker. He's a healer. You won't ever regret your decision to trust in him today. Find you somewhere to pray. Pull your car off the side of the road if you have to. Listen to me. You can trust in him. People may have failed you. People may have been dishonest with you. People may have betrayed your trust. He won't ever forsake you. He won't ever forsake your trust. He won't ever cheat on you, friends. Jesus won't ever lie on you. He won't ever tell nothing about you that ain't true. In fact, he's going to tell everybody that you are his child. That is my beloved. That is my child. That is my son, my daughter. Listen to me this morning. He wants to love you. Will you let him? Will you allow him to? We're talking about what God requires in the first thing. I never got off the first point. God requires that a man be born again. It's your time today. Feel the Spirit drawing you. Feel the tug on your heart. Feel the nervousness. Feel some people react to conviction differently. Some people get excited. Some people feel scared. Some